Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Heroes Challenge Q&A session. It's great to see all your names. We have a bunch of people who signed up for tonight. I'm Allison Armstrong, and this is one of my most favorite courses, one of the things I'm the most proud to have been part of. The Heroes Challenge was co-created with Dr. Pete Farmer and Kevin Tuohy, and I think it's honestly one of the best things that I have ever gotten to be part of. And hopefully you've had a chance to listen to the recorded call about the course, where I give a bunch of details about it and talk about the different areas that we work on. And if you've had a chance to listen to that, that will contribute to the quality of the questions I get to answer. And if you didn't, no worries. I'm willing to address different areas of the course. I noticed that there are a lot of, well, at the very least, human beings with names normally associated with women on the call. And I appreciate your curiosity, your commitment, your interest in the course. And I'm going to focus on answering the questions of the men. And so if we get through everything that the men need to be able to decide if this is something that would serve them or not, and then if you ladies have questions, then I'll take those afterwards. So if you, I'm going to ask you to actually divide into two different groups so that I know what I'm getting myself into. So if you have a question and you did get a chance to listen to the recorded introduction to Heroes Challenge, if you would press 1. And if you have a question, you can also not know that it's specifically a question. If you just have something that you'd like me to talk more about, you can do that as well. If you've listened to the intro, please press 1. And if you have not listened to the introduction and you have a question or something that you would like me to talk more about, please press 2, and then I can be more educated as to what is the background that I'm speaking into. That will help me a lot. And the first thing I'm going to do, which if you're familiar with me is my habit, I'm going to give everyone the microphone for a moment so we can say hi. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Hi, everyone. Hi. Welcome. It's great to hear your voices. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to our quiet classroom, which we love Maestro for, giving us the ability to actually get a bunch of work done. So, again, press 1 if you have listened to the intro and you have a question, and press 2 if you have not listened to the introduction and you have a question. Okay, so we have Christopher and Jonathan and James and David and Adam and Robert and Alina, I see you, and I'm not promising to get to you. So, Christopher, I'm going to give you the microphone first. What can I do for you?
I wasn't ready to go first.
is that okay?
I want to be clear on my question, so let me, I'm going to punt, and then I'll come back, if that's okay.
Yeah, I can come back to you if you like. Is that what you prefer?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No problem. If you would, Christopher, press 3 on your keypad when you're ready, and I'll be able to see that on my dashboard, okay?
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. No problem. Okay. And Jonathan, I'm going to give you the microphone. Hi there.
Hi, Allison. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So my question is not so much specific to the course, but logistics to the upcoming one in December. I don't know if you want to address that at the end or if that would make sense. I don't know how many other folks would be interested in the logistics.
Let's just take care of it. It's not a problem at all. Let's go ahead and do it. Are you already registered in the December course in Denver?
I registered yesterday, yes.
Wow. Okay. What is it that you need to know?
So it's being held at the Crown Plaza, and there's no rooms left at the Crown Plaza. And I'm looking for a place to stay and wondering if there's going to be any sort of transportation arrangement to avoid having to rent a car.
Well, actually, we came across the same thing. Apparently, it's a popular date and location, and they sold out of rooms a bit ago. And fortunately, I was there just last weekend. So the Crown Plaza is in a part of town populated by a bunch of hotels. So Greg and I got a place at the Town Suites. It's Town spelled with an E on the end, which is 0.4 miles from the hotel. It's a really easy walk. I think even if we get snow, I'll still just bring my boots and make the walk. There's a Hyatt place right across the street from it. There's a Marriott that's 0.9 miles. And we have, okay, how does this work? Because I never do this. I know. Here it is. On our website, under bulletin board, there is a message board where people can put up a message about sharing a ride or sharing a room. And so if you wanted, you'd go to understandmen.com and click on Get Involved, and the drop-down screen will say bulletin board, and then you can put a message up there about sharing a room or sharing a ride in Colorado for Heroes Challenge. And I can do something about it once we're in the course on Saturday, but I won't be able to do that beforehand. So I would use the bulletin board. But there's, besides the Marriott, which is 0.9 miles away, there's another couple of hotels right across the street from there as well. So I think it's all really doable without you having to rent a car. And that area has shuttles from the airport. It's a strange part of the country where the airport hotels are 9 miles from the airport, but they do have shuttles that get them there. Does that give you what you need for now?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. Look forward
You're
to seeing
welcome.
You.
Yeah, you too. And I'm glad that you asked. We were disturbed when we found that out. And you might, if you want to check with the hotel, I don't know if you asked them about each night, but what we experienced last week was that they were full up on Friday, and then on Saturday it was like a ghost land. Everybody cleared out that was there for the conferences during the week. So you may only need to stay someplace else on Friday night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you can ask. I tend to like to settle in, so I won't be moving, but we had the chance to move rooms if we wanted to. So you might check on that part.
And you said the Town Place Suites, which is a Marriott property?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
that's
cool.
The 0.4 miles away.
Perfect.
And they have suites and they have studio rooms, so they have different sizes.
Thank you very much, Allison.
You're welcome. No problem. Anything else you needed?
No, not at this point. Thank you.
You're welcome. I look forward to seeing you.
Yes.
All right. And Adam, I'm going to give you the microphone next. What can I do for you?
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I know.
What can you do for me? I have a problem where You sort of hit the nail on the head where I am basically giving too much of myself away and not getting enough in return, and I'm stuck playing the let's wait and see game, which never really works out for me.
Okay.
So,
and what's your question?
You know, am I to be have stricter boundaries and limits and standards and whatnot? Am I to be more demanding of my own needs?
Well, there's a lot involved in what you're asking and in the answer. I can paint a picture of a few of the things. So one of the things is that both men and women have tremendously compelling instincts against committing to our own needs and then communicating about them in a way that's effective. So mostly we only commit to the needs that we think we deserve to have met, and by the time we think we deserve to have them met, how we go about getting them met is by demanding them. And demanding creates a whole bunch of unproductive resistance, because it, as you know from being on the other side of demands, the only choices are really to resist or submit. And so it actually causes people to dig in and not provide for each other. And it's just one of the ways where human instincts are the opposite of partnership, which is what I'm committed to. The other thing that'll happen is we don't want to admit to having needs. To our normal concept of being human, to have a need is to have a weakness. And so we won't want to bring them up until we're desperate and usually angry. And that also makes it a lot harder to have them met. So one of the things that we do in a Hero's Challenge is first have you understand why you need what you need, that they're, the needs that you have are completely legitimate, where often in our culture, especially women, will make you think that they're not. Because what's common with men and women is we have different needs, and so we invalidate the other person's needs. Or we might invalidate our needs when they don't stand up to the argument with the opposite sex. So one of the things we do in the Hero's Challenge is we make just a very logical case for why you need what you need. And then the other thing we do is we shift your perspective about getting your needs met. So deserving to have your needs met is all about having earned them, that you have done something good enough to qualify as being worthy of that need being met. And unfortunately, because of our own standards, because of what I call the masculine deserving equation, where all the good you provide is counteracted by any harm you hold yourself accountable for. And so we can often end up never thinking we deserve enough to actually ask for what we need to be the kind of people that we're committed to being. So one of the things we do in a Hero's Challenge is first we repair the deserving equation by the opportunity to restore your honor in the areas where you believe that you have caused other people harm. And then we actually advocate abandoning the deserving equation. So we get it on both directions, that what if what you need isn't about what you've done in the past, but who you could be in the future if you had that need met? What kind of human being could you be? What kind of man could you be? So it's really not about a kind of demanding or position about one's needs. It's actually being able to commit to what you need from a powerful place and then go about getting them met in a way that actually helps other people provide for you, including learning the ability to receive. So that was a broad stroke. There's some different ways that we deal with what we're talking about. Did it address what it is that you were looking for, or do you have a follow-up question?
No, that it did. Thank you very much. No, it's something I definitely need to work on.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's just so you know, it's not personal, which is another thing in our culture. We think that the difficulties we have are because of our personality or upbringing or something that happened to us or the models that we had. And so much of our behavior is actually instinctual. It has to do with being human, and then secondarily with being male or female. And then after that, what it is that we're focused on in our life, the stage that we're at in our life. So most of my work is making sense of why we do what we do, so that we can have more compassion for ourselves and that we can honor ourselves and then honor other people. Is there anything else you need now?
Nope, sounds great for now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for a great question. Okay, and Christopher changed it to a 3. Good job, Christopher.
So, first, I'm a humongous fan of yours, and
you have a
wonderful influence. I haven't seen you in person yet, but I just think you do amazing work, and everything that you've done for men, for women, you're just an amazing human being, and I'm glad you're on the planet and doing this type of work. So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. I am receiving that. I have a big grin on my face.
So I have listened to a lot of your work, and but I've never been to one of your seminars. I only listened to them on CD. So is this more of a just seminar, or is it a workshop where you're actually going to be interactive and kind of put everything to work right away?
It's a great question. Well, first of all, I love men so much, I don't think I would ever make you sit in a seminar. that seems cruel. And it's very much a workshop in that over and over again, there's the experience of men at work. And there's your individual work to do, and then there's work that you do in a small team, in a trio of 3 men. And that work is anything from what we call team teaching. So I don't know if you're familiar with what they call the learning languages, but I think there's an unarticulated learning language called verbalization. So people mostly pay attention to, you know, did you read it? Did you hear it? Did you feel it in your body? Did you, you know, act upon it? I think a whole lot of learning happens by verbalizing. And so throughout a Hero's Challenge, we follow a kind of formula that's designed the way that most men's brains work. So we start by telling you the point of the section coming up, and what you want to have by the end of the section, what's the result, how do you win at it. And then we teach you a particular set of concepts related to what we're working on. Like, for example, what I was telling Adam about one of the topics is called, I call it the characteristics of the Ferrari. So I use the term Ferrari because I'm married to a car guy, and I'm a car person myself in many ways. And so we use the metaphor of a Ferrari as a high performance machine by design. And what if you are too? What if you're put together in a way to be very high performance and you have certain characteristics, and those characteristics determine what you need, and if you get what you need, then you're fast and hot and sexy and can make all these amazing things happen. And if you don't get what you need, then you're kind of, you know, dead in the ditch and you're just a broken down jalopy. And whether a car metaphor works for you, or you think of yourself more like a mountain or an eagle, or there was one man who thought of himself as a particular amplifier because he loved equipment having to do with music. But if you think of yourself as really well made and needing to understand, you know, what weight oil you need, That would be a section in the workshop, the characteristics of the Ferrari. And the way it works is I teach that section, and then immediately in your trio, your job is as a team to teach each other what I just taught you. And for every topic, there's a set of flip charts that gives you the outline of what you just learned and what you're now teaching each other. And we do that over and over again. So there's this sense of producing results together that's really satisfying for the men. And what we notice is that instead of getting kind of weighed down with what you're hearing, there's you actually keep learning faster and faster. So at the end of the workshop, instead of being tired, you're uplifted. And that's one example of the way that you work together. Another way that you work together is you actually are of service to each other. So one of the things that human beings have are injuries that create what I call insatiable needs. And they're needs that no matter how much you fill them, they are never satisfied. And it could be a need for love or approval or status or sex or affection or being better than other people. There's all these needs that human beings end up with. And one of the processes that we do, you actually heal each other. It's called noble healing, and you provide it for each other. And it's quite an extraordinary process. For most people, they think it's unbelievable. There's no way this could work. And then it does. And we have another process where you're serving each other, where you're listening to each other as honorable men. So you're an honorable man being listened to by honorable men. And you get to restore your sense of honor through another process that you do with the men. So it's very, very, very much a workshop, and it's co-creative. Like, we start the workshop with you all describing what you think are the best qualities of men and what you think are the worst qualities of men. You get to say. You as a group are the ones who create that piece of work. It's not for me to say. I'm a girl, right? I don't have no rights here. So, at least in this respect. So, that's a long answer to what I could have just said. No, it's a workshop. You have to work a lot, and there's no observers. And if you're not in the boat rowing, then get the heck out of the boat. That would have been a short answer. But it's true. The requirements of the workshop are to participate and to be at work, and because we don't have observers.
I'm a visual kinesthetic learner, so if I'm not touching it or doing it, it's going to go in one ear and out the other.
Ah, well, we'll definitely satisfy the visual. I'm big on visuals. And then getting your hands into it, working with the concepts, adapting them to yourself, very much a part of the way that the course is designed.
Well, one other quick one. I really enjoyed the stages of life that you discussed in the Amazing Development of Men. Is that integrated into this? Is it something completely different? Does it work in conjunction with these stages? I'm sure you're going to have people from various parts of their life where those mm-hmm. stages will influence where they're coming from.
Yeah. I have a tremendous aversion to being redundant. So when I feel like I've done something well, I let it be and let people work with it. And we definitely will have knights and princes and kings, for sure. I already know them. I already know men in each of those stages that will be there. I know for sure we'll have an elder who last did this course as a king, and that'll be interesting to see what it's like for him. That's my husband. My husband's actually going to be in the course. And he hasn't done it since the very first time about 8 years ago, and we've improved it so much. I asked him to do it again, and after a little bit of resistance, he agreed to do it, which is great. I would be surprised if we didn't have men who are in the tunnel and that transition from prince to king, and I hope we do, because the process we've created really helps them with that. And you're right. Everyone will come at it from a different place. And one of the things that I just try to do is make it safe, because kings have a tendency to give unsolicited advice instead of just speaking for themselves. So that's one of my jobs, is to keep the environment safe for everyone to have their own experience and to have it be honored and no one putting anything upon them. And I just saw a man last weekend who it was sweet. He actually acknowledged that he had put his foot in his mouth in the courses. That was his term. Because instead of speaking for himself, he stood up and told everybody like it was. And I had to stop him. I couldn't let it happen. So that's one of my jobs in leading the course, is making sure there's a room for everyone's experience to be respected, to be honored, to be completely legitimate.
Nice.
Anything else?
Oh, you did a great job. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Okay. So then we have David and James, and that will be my ones, at least I think. David, I haven't given you the microphone already and forgot, did I?
No, you have not.
Okay, good. All right. They tend to move around on the screen for some reason. They don't just stay in order. It's kind of nerve-wracking. What can I do for you?
Thank you for putting this together and inviting us. So here's kind of my question. I have a long history of putting my needs on the back burner during the honeymoon phase or the early stages of a relationship. And then when challenges start to arise, well, that seems to be the last time that I'm going to start trying to stake out territory for what I need. That's one of the problems that I'm working through. And then when things are good and flowing along, well, that's the very last time I would choose to upset the apple cart, which is all very odd because I'm a trial lawyer. And
yes.
So controversy and, you know, speaking up is not a problem for me professionally. But personally, mm-hmm. the last thing that I want to do is argue when I get home. And I see kind of laying out or communicating my needs as the beginning of a potential argument. And so, so here's my question. When I'm going through the process of figuring out what I need for myself in my pursuit of trying to be an extraordinary man, how do I distinguish between what I need versus the ways in which I don't want to be controlled?
That's,
I made you
awesome.
Laugh. That's good.
You did. You did. I. That was not anywhere in my predicted end of that sentence based on your setup. And I loved that. I got a kick out of it. Okay, so a couple things, not just an answer to your question, but in response to some of the things that you said. So first, to answer your question, to get to the point, we define needs in a particular way, and that is that you can tell the difference between something that you want and something that you need, because not getting it has a consequence. Has a big consequence. And we distinguish those consequences in three categories, which we call upset, off balance, or unwell. And upset's defined by the dictionary as a state of mental or emotional disarray, and that works for me. Off balance, I define myself as a lack of power, a lack of groundedness, and inability to get any traction because you're tilted. So you can't ever get anything moving. So your will is impaired. The the velocity which with which you can manifest is impaired because you're off balance. And then unwell can be anywhere from physically sick to lacking vitality and even virility, which is something that shows up in a hero's challenge because so many men pride themselves on getting along on very little sleep and having no idea of the effect that that's having on their overall well-being. So one of the ways to distinguish between you actually needing something and you avoiding being controlled, I just love that, is what's the consequence of this thing that you're looking at whether I need it or not. So, well, what happens when you don't get it? And that expands into a bigger answer to the series that you were describing of all the different times you're not going to speak up for what you need. And that is after the exercise of men describing what are the best qualities of men and what are the worst qualities of men, which there are many qualities that end up on both lists, and me describing the characteristics of the Ferrari and therefore what actually actively antagonizes the way that men are put together, then men get to describe what is their personal worst. And if you think of the worst as like a spiraling down into the sewer, each man gets to see how it goes for him, that it starts here, and then it goes to there, and then it goes to there, and then he ends up, you know, just down the toilet. And that ends up getting connected to what you need. And when you start to have an understanding that if you let this need pass, if you don't say, no, I actually have to have this and it's not negotiable, so what do you need to give me what I need? If you let that pass, you can see that then you're going to go to the next place and then the next place and the next place, and you're going to end up being the person that you least respect yourself when you're that person. And so I seem to have a unique ability to magnify pain points so as to make, right? You would, as a child, I'm sure you do that very well yourself. And I've been, at a young age, I was told I should be a trial lawyer. But when you magnify the pain points and can see them in moments of sanity and having mental space to interact with them, you end up making some different commitments. And you end up being able to make better choices and knowing the cost of letting it go at this point, as attractive as it may be. And by the way, it's completely human instinct to avoid conflict, especially in intimate situations. The way that many men have described it to me is there's a very quick, we call it the worth it calculation, and everything has to survive the worth it calculation or it doesn't get acted upon. And what women don't know is that in an unconscious level, the worth it conversation is this worth dying for? And in an argument with a woman, especially the kind of death that women can deliver, very few things survive that equation. And so the conflict is avoided, and the ultimate price ends up being paid later. The price of not being yourself, yeah. Does that give you something you can work with?
Yes, I mean it is very intriguing. I've got a lot of work to do, but thank you. I love your messages, and I'm going to try my hardest to get up to Denver.
It'd be great to see you there. I think you would love it. I call myself a pragmatic visionary, and have no interest in beautiful possibilities without nuts and bolts of how to get there with the least amount of effort. And so I'm always dialing things back to the point where the least amount of effort will get you the biggest results.
That's some wonderful focus, which I really appreciate. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's a great question. All right. And, okay, we did that and that and that. Oh, I lost somebody. Okay, Robert, it's your turn. And, Brian, I'm seeing a high five, which is awesome encouragement, but may not be what you meant to do. So if you have a question, if you change it to a 1, if you've listened to the introductory recording, and a 2, if you have not. And then I will get to you after Robert and Glenn, assuming you change it to a question. All right, Robert, you have a microphone.
Okay. I'm not sure this is appropriate or not, but I've read Keys to the Kingdom twice in the last week and just absolutely loved it. I learned that my wife is a frog farmer. And at the end of the book, it talks about your coming book on frog farming, and I've been searching and searching. I can't find one. But my question is, I'm into a lot of personal growth. I've learned a lot about you through Tony Robbins' work and just do a lot of stuff. My wife refuses to do anything. I've tried to just put the book in the coffee table, and it's all highlighted for her to read, but she won't pick it up. Are there any strategies for someone that's working to become an extraordinary man to influence their wife to help along the journey?
Oh, boy. It's a great question. And the sequel to Keys to the Kingdom ended up being named The Queen's Code.
Okay. I always thought, I'll see you here today.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So The Queen's Code picks up 6 months after Keys to the Kingdom.
Awesome.
And, yeah, so you have the same 4 characters and you have 4 new characters. And it is the book that we would want your wife to read. And as you might have figured out, like most men, women have something we call the center of the universe disease. So it's just smart to interact with us always from what's in it for us as an individual, not what's in it for us as a couple or in it for you, but honey, I found this book, and it's what I heard it will do is help you to get more of what you need from me with a lot less frustration. Apparently, you're not the only woman who wishes her husband would behave differently. So I'm going to be reading it to find out how I can better meet your needs. And if you'd like to read it to find out how I could better meet your needs, then that'd be cool. And that's basically, unfortunately, is about as good as we've seen men be able to get. A lot of times a man recommending our work to a woman we call the kiss of death. Because just the fact that you're recommending it will have her dig in. And I always get really, really happy when I meet women who they're there because their husband asked them to. I'm thinking, okay, they have a chance. These folks have a chance. She actually is honoring a request of his, and it's unfortunately kind of a miracle. So I would start with that. I also would, with you reading The Queen's Code, you'll be able to see what triggers your wife to emasculate you. And you'll be able to take an active role in having that happen less and have some compassion for this way of being that she has with you that ends up in what we call frog farming, that she didn't invent it, that it's not personal to her or to you. It's a trap. It's a trap that that almost all women fall into and don't even realize they did. So I would recommend that you start with that. And I'm so sorry that she isn't already on board. It's when people become committed to personal growth and transformation, I think that's one of our biggest heartbreaks, is when our partners won't come with us. And it's something in my relationship with Greg. We both met in the world of transformation, and there have been times over the course of our relationship where I needed to go to a new place and he didn't want to go. He was comfortable, and I had to really take a stand for, I have to go here and I want you to come with me. It really matters to me to come with me, and if you don't come with me, I'm going anyway. And God bless him, he digs in and decides, I want to go too. And he's done that over and over again for over 20 years. And I feel for the people when they don't have a partner that does that. So I'm really sorry for that.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to try that.
Okay, cool. And enjoy the Queen's Code. It will give you a unique view into a woman's state of mind. And it might scare the Jesus out of you, but it'll make you more effective.
The keys already did, so I thank you so much. That gave me some new language and insights into myself, and I just wish I could somehow pass that on for my wife.
Yeah. Well, one other thing, Robert, that I'm really excited about is our workshop that most empowers men to interact with women and bring out the best in women is called the Queen's Code Challenge, Understanding Women. And on December 2nd, it comes out in what we call our on-demand format. So it's available by webinar 24/7 starting December 2nd. And that will give you an opportunity to learn a whole bunch more information that isn't in the Queen's Code book and that will help you to chill out the frog farmer that lives inside every woman.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Okay, awesome. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you so much. By the way, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. For some reason, my voice keeps changing over the years. I just, if you listen to the original Amazing Development of Men, it's, people used to say, I thought you were blonde. Because my voice is so high, they figured it belonged to a young person, I guess. All right. So, Brian, I still see a 5 on your part, so I won't call on you if you don't change it. And, Glenn, I'm giving you the microphone. There you go.
Well, hello, and I'll reiterate what everybody else is saying, but make it shorter because everybody else has been clear with this. Just thank you for who you are and the work that you do. It's amazing. My wife and I both listened to so many of your courses, taken some, and it's and I, gosh, I could think of any number of questions to ask you, but I'll you know, bring up the one that I will, obviously it'll help me and probably help other men too, is that based on your definition, I would say that I'm a prince, like on the edge of becoming a king. And I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place sometimes because I can't wait to be a king. Therefore, I put all of my time and effort there. And my wife also wants me to be a king. And that would be advantageous to both of us. But when I put all my time and effort there, I end up depleted. And then I'm not, you know, I don't have that ability to be really present and to be what she needs on that level. And that's the proverbial rock in the hard place, because I want something, and it's right there, and I'm willing to do everything to get there, and not just for myself, but also, you know, for my wife, which is something that, like, because of your work, you know, I used to be the type of guy who thought that, you know, the male and the female need to pull their own role and do this and do that. And I've really embraced, you know, being the
provider, and actually I love that. I mean, it just makes me feel so good. So there's a lot of different levels of why I want to reach that state, but then at the same time, I'm not really in the place my wife needs me to be in for her to be ultimately happy also. So what would you have to say about that?
Well, first I have a question, Glenn. When you say working really hard to be a king, are you talking about putting points up on the board and accomplishment and building like crazy? Is that what you're referring to?
I would say building like crazy as far as business and finances and our own comfort level.
Okay. So, and have you listened to this stages of development? Are you familiar with that whole process?
In the past, I have, yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure so you know if you keep building, you're going to get to a place where you have a sense that you're almost there, and it'll feel glorious for about 6 months, and then you're going to dive into an extremely dark place.
Okay.
As you're rushing towards the cliff, I think it's only fair for you to know that if that cliff is there. And that as you're building and building and accomplishing, and what you can provide gets bigger and bigger, that and more, that there is this extraordinary thing that happens to men, and it also happens to women in a different way that we've identified, and that is a place where everything that you've done, you're going to be questioning why you did it. And what was the point of doing it? And another way to think about the tunnel is, which a friend of mine called it the tunnel because it's very dark, is that place that you look in yourself now to know what's true for you and right for you. Imagine that you look to that place to make an important decision and your connection to that place is gone. In fact, that connection to that place has gone from tenuous to just disappeared, and you don't even know where the place is. And so your sense of yourself is in question, and the basis of all your commitments has disappeared. And that's what we call a tunnel. And it's an existential time in a man's life where he's got to sort out who he is, independent of the influence and the pressures from the people around him that he's been adapting to and been compelled to provide for. So the more pressure your wife puts on you at this stage, the more I worry about how much distance you will have to create from her to honor your own process when you get to the tunnel. So very few people know a tunnel's up ahead before they get there. So we haven't been able to study what are the advantages of knowing it's coming, and that muscle of honoring yourself, I actually don't even know what would be possible if you began now. And okay, this may sound kind of harsh. Can I say something that may sound kind of harsh?
Go on.
Okay. So if you've listened to any of the conversations that I recorded about being hunters and gatherers, which are expressions of fundamental survival instincts in human beings, and instinct has no switch. There's no off switch in instinct. There's no enough in instinct. There's nothing in us that says we're safe enough, we have enough, we've hunted enough, we've gathered enough, we can chill now. There's always this edge And even as we become more affluent and we spend our resources on decoration and entertainment, there's still this edge of being pressed to accomplish, accomplish, and accomplish. And, you know, sometimes I've made a joke about we hunt and hunt and gather, and then we have to rent storage facilities because we can't contain everything that we've brought home from our hunting and gathering. And another way of saying that is that enough is a victory of human spirit. And it's a way that men and women need to partner with each other in sitting down and sorting out what is enough and where is there an authentic expression of accomplishment, and where is either the instinct that there's never enough, and where is there an insatiable need that causes never enough? Because if we don't separate all of this and we don't heal the injuries that cause insatiable needs, and we don't examine that border between an instinctive drive and the real expression of who you are as a human being, if we don't make those distinctions, we do run ourselves into the ground. We do sacrifice quality for quantity, and we dishonor ourselves, and we end up miserable. And men can end up tremendously accomplished and completely depressed because of the separation that it's caused in themselves, because they didn't get what they really needed. And instinct does not cause us to get what we really need. Instinct causes us to survive.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to say or ask about all that?
No, it makes sense. And it's, I feel like I'm in the tunnel already. I've always thought of myself as a very happy, kind of go-lucky guy, and it's hard to know what makes me happy anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's so, it's really so driven by accomplishment, and I know the tunnel.
Okay. Well, if you can get yourself to Denver in a couple weeks, we can ease that route tremendously. There's also other places around the country where our certification partners are providing Heroes Challenge. But that's a big part of this course, is that distinguishing of who am I and what are my core qualities, my core values, that I'm now going to organize what I spend my time and money and energy around feeding, instead of feeding that instinctive beast that's never satisfied and never will be.
Okay. I picked the right question to ask.
Well, you asked a heck of a question. That was amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Anything else? You're welcome.
No, that was perfect. That's what I needed to hear. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So, Ryan doesn't have a question. All the other recognizable in our culture male names, I have answered their questions. And I have two questions up from women, and at least as far as I can tell, I apologize if I'm wrong. So the one that's been up the longest so far is Sophienne. I'm not sure how to say it. You have the microphone. How do you say your name?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
My name is Sophienne.
Sophienne, beautiful name.
Thank you very much. I'm calling you from Bangkok, Thailand.
Wow.
And my question, I have actually two different questions. First question, from Bangkok, how I can get access to your workshops? And I know you start putting some of them on webinars. With which one we have to start if you want to do the whole process?
Well, for men, we have a couple of entry points into what we do traditionally. So a hero's challenge to understand and empower yourself, and the queen's co-challenge to understand women. Those are two points of entry for men. The Queen's Co-Challenge, the Understanding Women Workshop, is a prerequisite for our program called the Dance of Partnership, which is the first step in our work that we've developed, which to me is the real point of understanding gender, is so that we can create partnership, which is a whole other set of distinctions. Now, a couple of things that are good. One is, like I was telling, I think it was David or Adam, I forget now, the Understanding Women Workshop will be on demand December 2nd, so it'll be available by webinar. A Hero's Challenge, I haven't made plans for it to be by webinar because it is such a workshop. I might get around to it just because it's so important that it be available around the world. A very interesting thing is going to happen, Sophiane, and that is that our curriculum for women, which there's five courses, four besides the Understanding Women Workshop, that historically have just been available to women, men will be able to participate in the webinar version. So if you want to find out what we teach women about men in the Queen's Code, which is the first workshop, and the one where women give up feeling justified in and justifying emasculating men, they do what we call laying down the sword, and you actually will be able to participate in that workshop by webinar. And if you want to go on and learn what we teach women about men and sex, and relationships, you can go on and do that. And what we teach women about how to bring out the best in themselves. So it's a big shift for us in our work. One of the things we interact with is something we call the order of instincts. Procreate, then protect, then provide. And we have created and created and created, and we have been in a protect mode for over 20 years, and we're consciously shifting into provide and letting people do what's right for them to do instead of us decide what's right for them to do. So it's a big shift. And between now and April 21st, our entire Queen's Code curriculum will be available on demand. We already have one out. The Queen's Code for Life is already out. And then, like I said, the Understanding Women Workshop comes out December 2nd.
Thank you so
You're welcome.
And I have a second question. Very quick question. In my work, I use your resources in my work. And I want you to know if there's any adaptation for the same-sex couples of all your work?
You know what? It's so long overdue. Really, really long overdue. I apologize for that. It's not from any prejudice on my part. It's just from what we would call triage. Women are taking men out like crazy, and so that's what we've been working on. But what we've seen, for example, the Understanding Women workshop, where we're distinguishing women in a hunting or a gathering mode, I can't help but also talk about men as hunters and gatherers. And so that's the best workshop in terms of where the shoe fits, wear it. So you can see yourself when you're in hunting mode, yourself when you're in gathering mode, male partners in hunting mode and gathering mode, and what are the signs of which mode they're in, and therefore what has them experienced being supported and what has them experienced being appreciated and vice versa, because it changes up so much. So that would be the very best product for the adaptation that you're talking about.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
So much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. At some point, not too far in the future, I hope, we'll be crossing all kinds of lines differently, because men and women were becoming more of everything. So it's changing the way that we need to interact with ourselves, and my work is changing with it. So thank you very much, Sophia, and thank you for the
Bangkok one day.
I would love that. That'd be awesome. Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, so everybody's, how hard was it to get on this line? Gets enlightened by Thailand. How cool is that? Okay, so I am due for another conference call. I'm sorry, Daphne, that I could not get to your question, and I did fulfill my mission, so I'm glad to have done that. And if you have questions about the course, you're welcome to call our 800 number. You're welcome. I have a it's very hard for me to get to my email these days with all my due dates, but you can email Allison at understandmen.com if you have a question about a Hero's Challenge, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So I'm going to go ahead and get everybody the microphone, and we will say good night. So good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank
good
you.
Night.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.